The announcement was made yesterday morning that the NPA and the Hawks are setting up a task team to try and expedite and make successful state capture prosecutions. Karen Maughan joins us now to discuss this, legal journalist for News 24. I suspect, Karen, that they wanted me to applaud and go hallelujah when they said task team. I went, ooh, in South Africa, task teams have a habit, have a history of slowing things down rather than speeding things up. Were you quite excited when they mentioned this?
No, and I think, you know, it is interesting because they've gone beyond just the realm of task team. They call it a task force. So apparently that you know, indicates a greater, more serious significance. But the reality is that they've had the investigating directorate for quite some time, which was actually set up, you know, principally to address state capture corruption. We've heard from Hermione Cornier, who has, of course, resigned, that, you know, when she was in Parliament in July last year, that there are serious resource constraints, capacities, just in terms of actual human beings that can take on these very complex corruption cases and take them to court. And that was having an incredible impact on the IB's ability to get these matters before the courts. You know, so I don't know that, you know, having a task force is necessarily, I'm not entirely sure what the point of it would be. You know, we've had updates in Parliament about the status of these cases, what's happening. We all know about them, Estina, Transnet, Eskom, and others. It's really just a question of what is holding them back in terms of making it into court, and how are those resources issues going to actually be effectively addressed? The NPA is saying that they're going to be engaging with Treasury, DPSA, the Solicitor General in order to address the capacity issues. But beyond that, you know, a task force for me doesn't really seem to bode any quick and speedy resolution.
There is also the signal given by Shamila Batoya yesterday, because we know that Business Unity South Africa and so on have said, you know, look, the private sector is ready to help. We have really highly qualified forensic accountants, lawyers with expertise in these matters that would be willing to help. And her signal seemed to be, nah, not so keen on that, because we don't want our investigations to be potentially seen as being in the interests of the private sector, which Willy Hofmeyr said to my colleague Pippa Hudson yesterday afternoon, he thought was sad, but he kind of understood where she was coming from with that. What's your take?
I think it's a fundamentally misguided attitude to have. In the interest of, you know, parastatals belong to all South Africans. Eskom's collapse has had extraordinary implications on every single one of us. Transnet, PRASA, all of these things impact on us. And the NPA, as Zondo has pointed out, has a sovereign state function to take procurement corruption on. It has failed, fundamentally, was the word that he used, to do so. And in those circumstances, for the NPA to say, look, we have all these massive capacity problems, but when we get offered solutions, we're not going to turn around and actually create policy, create enabling, policy directives that enable us to work with private counsel, to work with forensic investigators on evidence that is, I mean, forensic bank statements, there's no potential for bias there. It is what it is. You provide analysis of that information. So if you are concerned about the perception of bias, create policy to address it. You know, we know that private prosecutions are possible. They do happen every now and again. The courts have endorsed them. So make sure that if you are going to do state, private prosecution hybrid kind of cases, which are possible, that you have clear policy and you're grounded in the law in order to do that. But to simply sit in your hands and say, look, we know we have challenges, but we're not going to take the opportunity to actually address them when we're offered the help that can specifically deal with them, just for me seems that, you know, that's a completely misguided approach to take.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this before, and we're not the only people who have raised this as an issue. I mean, there's nothing that stopped the NPA and the Hawks putting together their task team a couple of years ago. They didn't have to wait for the official report to start coming into the public arena to be handed over to the government. The information that was coming out at the Zondo Commission, plus information that they might have got wind of for the first time in the media, that was available to be followed up. And, you know, the low-hanging fruit of prosecuting Tom Moyane for perjury didn't have to wait for the formation of a task force and for Zondo to release the first part of his three-part report. So you can't avoid a sense of, well, I hope this task team gets some energy and some direction and focus and precision into the process, but my goodness, you have been sitting on your hands, it looks like.
Well, I mean, it gets worse because, I mean, as you rightly point out low-hanging fruit with Tom Moyane. Dudu Mieni went into the commission and named a witness after being explicitly told on national TV, we all saw it, that doing so would be a criminal offence. No action was taken against her. Outer, which is an example of an NGO that has used its legal ability to actually demand an accountability in circumstances where the state has failed fundamentally to do so, went to court and successfully ensured that Dudu Mieni could not assume directorship of any companies or entities and effectively removed her as the chairperson of the Jacob Zuma Foundation as a result. But that judgment is a roadmap of evidence that could be taken, in terms of prosecuting Dudu Mieni for her abuses at SAA, which is then referred to in the State Capture Inquiry's report. That stuff was all referred to the NPA by Judge Tolmay at the time, who said this should be investigated, it should be potentially prosecuted at the discretion of the NPA, and it was referred to them. SA Express, we know Zondo expressing huge disquiet over the fact that clear and apparent corruption in the Northwest was reported to the Hawks 6 years ago, and nothing had happened, albeit that was a fundamentally different NPA, and apparently we are now in a new era of an uncaptured prosecuting authority. But now there is no movement in these cases. And to suggest that the NPA needs to wait for a final report in order to move is simply factually factually unsustainable.
Karen Moore, legal journalist for News 24, thank you very much indeed. The other issue around the courts at the moment is Lindy Wesisulu's column, which I spoke about earlier in the week, and it is now a snowball which is gathering mass as it careens downhill. We are speaking to Dennis Davis about that at around 10 to 9 this morning. I don't know if you were listening to the conversation that Africa had just before 6 o'clock with the political analyst Aubrey Matecha. Ralph Matecha, I beg your pardon. And he was saying that, yes, the intent behind this is problematic. And, yes, some of the language and reasoning that Lindiwe Sisulu used was problematic. But it's an important debate, and we shouldn't hide away from the debate. The debate being that does our constitution in any way prevent the realization of the socioeconomic ideals for the country which are in the constitution? I would say quite clearly not. There is nothing constitutional which stops this country from having made much, much, much better progress from the horrors of apartheid than we have managed. It's nothing to do with the constitution. And, I don't see that there's a debate. It's like having a debate about, does the sun really rise in the east? Yes, it does. Does the sun set in the west? Yes, it does. Does the moon go around the earth? Yes, it does. You don't debate that stuff. Was there a moon landing? Yes, there was. There's no debate. And is the constitution, this neoliberal constitution, as framed by Lindiwe Sisulu, is that an obstacle to meaningful reduction of inequality, meaningful reduction of poverty, meaningful increases in people's access to meaningful jobs? To what extent is the Constitution a hindrance to that? None at all. There's no debate to be had. Well, that's my view anyway.